Delighted to be your host. Oh, yes. You know we have a commitment here at Advanced Living Radio to make your life better, to provide you with some interesting skills and tools. This is a part of what I have intended, and I am so honored. I have a mission to basically find and share whatever is joy, whatever is needed to joyously reunite all of us with our source at a conscious level. And my thought is that because when we think and feel and act from the idea that we're always connected to that source, then I believe grace prevails and total wellness is restored. And so every day I pray, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Woo! That's a biggie. And each little piece that we bring to you every week helps support that. I am so honored and blessed. And our show brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com, the home of the Comfort Clock, a technology. I call it a Clark Kent clock with superpowers. Looks like a plain clock, but when you plug it in, it's like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room with you. Clears electromagnetic stress and harmonizes energies and actually lifts healing vibrations. So you're invited to go to AdvancedLiving.com and check that out. Our guests today, oh, are we in for a treat? I mean, how many of you can resist the idea of something titled Wild Attraction? Yummy. Does that sound like fun? Yes. And of course, our guests today, amazing, amazing couple, Paul and Patty Richards.
Hello, Kenneth.
Yes, hi. I'd love to welcome you aboard, and if it's okay, can share a little bit about your background with the listeners, or because you have such an interesting thing, this Sente Center that you started back in 1992. People in the U.S. and in the Ashland area, Ashland, Oregon, can come visit you, or in New Zealand, which I haven't been there, so that gives me a good reason to go there now. And then I love this idea where you're basically offering an understanding of the role of non-ordinary energy in our lives and its power to promote personal growth and change. And essentially, the theme of the center is dedicated to contributing to the creation of great people, helping us to make our lives amazing. And your background, this is pretty amazing, a former aerospace executive and high reliability program manager, and you contributed technology to the space shuttle, the Keck telescope, and the the Super Collider Project, which is not actually on the highways in Los Angeles. It's a scientific thing, folks. And then in the early 80s, Paul began to create what eventually became formalized as the Sente body of work. When I saw the name Sente, I thought of the idea of sentient, like a sentient being. And so he's talking about consciousness, so I don't know if they relate. We'll find out later. But it's a massive codification of the art of healthy, energetic seeing that was developed by Paul. And talk about a background, folks, the reason to pay careful attention to what he's got to say. In the 70s, he participated in a pilot study of what was then termed ESP, or extrasensory perception, at the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, in their neuropsychology laboratory. And after that, he undertook a 7-year intensive training in energetic seeing, a very rigorous private traditional program of non-ordinary perception. And his wife, Patty, she's an energetic seer and trainer who is highly skilled at helping us to connect with Paul's genius and intricate material, turning it into something that is easily accessible and understood by us in language that we don't have to be a deep scientist to understand. So that's one of the things that they bring. And he's taught this at universities. They've taught it at public schools, private settings, businesses, and as a quickie overview, it says that the Sente training is scientifically and academically oriented and based on 4 concepts, folks. Okay, so get ready. 4 concepts. Humans are much more than they appear to be, and reality is far more extraordinary than it seems. So if you're not having an extraordinary reality, you haven't got Paul's book yet. The extraordinary capacity and extraordinary awareness that these things are possible and, of course, recommended for all humans, especially when you're interested in having a happy, better life, which Paul and Patty have done for themselves and are sharing with us. And then energy and consciousness form a matrix that support and underlie the physical world. We knew there had to be something under there, like what the heck's going on down there. And of course, they're wanting us to have healthy energy habits, therefore contributing to a healthy life. And the final part of it that I think is so good, because it's like how to make sense out of this world sometimes, please help me. They say it's possible to understand and consciously use your energy senses in a grounded, life-enhancing way with training. So get ready, folks. We're in for a big treat. Paul and Patty, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I would have to give that an amazing introduction, Patty. It's an honor to be on your show and to be in the company of so many wonderful people that you've interviewed in the past. And I certainly highly endorse your mission, and I'm glad to support your mission in bringing people together. That's what we're trying to do, is join up with all the people out there that are talking about making great people and making a great world. So thank you, Kenneth.
You're welcome. It's an honor to have the two of you on. And for those of you that like to watch on the Internet as well as listen, you would be invited to go to their website, Sente Center, SenteCenter.com, so you can check things out as we're speaking with them today. And of course, there you'd find their book, Wild Attraction, the Energetic Facts of Life. And so this is just so tantalizing. Now, of course, because we're talking about relationships, and that's one of the keys on the front page of your book. It says, and I love this, a ruthlessly practical guide to extraordinary relationship. I mean, it's not just a practical guide. It's ruthlessly practical. So so when the time name Wild Attraction is there, we know that underlying all of the academic background that you have, there's this intensity. And that's just such a treat, because we know that when we're involved in something passionately, it's very intense. And so here you are modeling that. Now, you talk about the possibility of a gender relationship that is off the charts, just fabulous, beyond our our dreams. And then you say that there are things that the average person, all of us, me, everyone listening, can do to bring that about in their own lives. So would you help so that we can learn about what's so special about your and Patty's relationships and what we can learn from what's happening with you?
Sure. Talking about our relationship, I love to talk about Patty. She's an extraordinary person, becoming more extraordinary every day, and certainly she's the center of my universe. I can say when I met her, she was just ending a career as a nurse practitioner, nurse midwife, and beginning a long period as a women's health care specialist at the local university. And when in our first few years together, we would walk down the street in our hometown, and it seemed as though she had been present at the delivery of about half the population. So she was a real birther, and she helped birth the Sente Center as more of a public agency than I ever had conceived it to be. And also, Wild Attraction was primarily Patty's desire to take what we had developed in our relationship, primarily with the addition of I guess you could say an intelligent, grounded examination of the role of energy in people's lives and particularly relationship, and bring it out, make it available to other people. That was Patty's impetus, and I just got behind it. So I'm really in a position of supporting Patty as a fantastic spokesperson for the potential of gender if you add the understanding of the role of energy to what can happen. And what can happen is, I suppose the least of it is telepathy. It is a sense of merging. It is opening the door to a greater contact with allness, I suppose you'd say. And the sense of gender as an ally or an agent that changes you in extremely profound degree, so profound that you can't look back in yourself and remember what you were like before relationship worked its magic. And if you can imagine, and probably many people can, an effortless love, a relationship that throws off heat, that the only work involved is the kind of joyous maintenance of this continually growing connection, and where there is no hint of a battle of the sexes at all, where both partners have either develop or come into it with a completely positive view of gender, their own gender and the complementary gender for them, whatever that is. It's something that I had only dimly grasped as a possibility, and the experience of it has surpassed anything really that I had imagined at any prior point in my life or in any prior relationship. And adding to that, the kind of ritual element, if you know that the power that you possess as a person, all the things that you can do that generate wonders or motion in the world, if you think of them instead of being a way to get what you want in your life or serve your interests, if you think of your power as a language, and that language is spoken differently by someone more predominantly in energy terms, male or female, and those languages create a sort of an overarching language that forms basically simple rituals in daily life that are not they're not about getting power over someone. They're just about displaying your greatness, your grace, and speaking back and forth across two different people in a complementary gender relationship, that just in these very simple rituals that are mainly physical but trigger energetic actions, bring together the energy of two people in an ever-deepening, merging process. You know, our life is really constant series of energetic rituals that express who we are to one another and cause the energy of the male and female in us to combine and create something on a gender level that's bigger than and doesn't really even look like male or female alone. Patty, do you want to comment on this lengthy introductory remark about how great it is for me to be with you?
I'd be glad to. I really enjoyed your question, Kenneth, which was how, you know, what is it that we're advocating and what is possible in relationship? And I think I would start really by saying Paul and I guess for about 17 years, we've had this private practice, and we teach people about perception, how to make it practical, how to make it real, because you're experiencing all the time these things coming into you that you think are intuitive or, you know, communications, somebody saying one thing, but their face says one thing and their energy says something else. And we're trying to map this for people and make it real. And one of the most interesting places to do that is in relationship. And I guess I would share with you and the listeners that for us, we have these really fun, exciting classes. And yet what oftentimes people will say, they love the classes and they'll come up afterwards, they're thrilled with the material, and then they'll say to us, we just like watching you two. And we get that all the time. We get it if we're in, you know, a hardware store. We get it if we're buying clothes. People will come up to us out of the blue and say, how long have you been married? Or you have a really neat relationship. This happens, I'm not kidding, all the time. It happens in New Zealand. It happens in the USA. It's bizarre. And so last summer, we were at a book signing, and we had a little wild attraction event, I guess, at a bookstore. And I started looking out at the audience thinking, I know people are going to come up later and say, we like watching you. And I thought, well, I'm going to watch them. What is so different about us? You know, I'm going to watch the audience. And it was really enlightening to me to watch people who were there as couples. And what I noticed is their field, that energy field around the person, was very still. So you're sitting next to your loved one, and yet there wasn't the interaction that Paul and I experienced. We're always interacting with each other in a wordless way. You know, I walk up the stairs in front of him, and I'm always signaling him an energy. I get in the car, and I'm crossing my legs, and I'm always sending him signals, and he's always responding, and it keeps this catnip-like fun thing going on between us. So that's a lot of what wild attraction is. We're saying to people, you are this alive, active field that's more than just your physicality. It's like having an incredible race car, but nobody's shown you how to get it out of first gear. We have a lot of fun showing people how to get your, what we call, energy field and energy body out of first gear and have some fun with each other. So I guess that's how I would introduce what we're doing and say, you know, what are the things that the average person can do to bring this about? And I would say with everybody, start with some real gender curiosity. We notice most people aren't that curious about the other gender. They watch them and they think they know what they're about, but do you actually really ask the person, what's it like to be a woman? What is it that really makes you feel cherished? Or what's it like to be a man? What is the thing that's, you know, that you, that really keeps you in a relationship? And then actually change your behavior. People oftentimes don't think they have to change their behavior, and they settle for mediocre relationships. And we're saying, yeah, you might have to change some of your behavior, and we can give you some new tools, but the rewards are fantastic. So I guess I would, you know, pass it to you, Kenneth, or to Paul, and go from there.
Sure. I have more to say, but Kenneth, please, how could we serve you?
Well, you're making mention of this energetic dance or interaction that's going on, and your background, Paul, was one that with the ESP, extrasensory perception, or stuff that helped give you some idea of, well, geez, there's much more going on. Maybe some of the listeners have seen or heard of people that can see auras, different of these kinds of things. And what I want to be able to see is if you can help, because let's say people can't see these energies.
Right.
But I'm just wondering about how we can help make this something that they can work with, even if they don't have what would be considered great ESP skills.
You know, that's a perfect, lovely thing. I will say, for me, I always had an extra visual component. I can remember being 2 or 3 years old and seeing basically different colored things slithering across the floor or hanging in the air. And that eventually led me, seeing things that other people weren't seeing, led me to go through the evaluation of, am I playing with a full deck? And, you know, you kind of have to ask yourself, you're seeing stuff other people aren't seeing. Usually you have to go see someone for that.
Yeah.
But I went to UCLA in my 20s and got involved in that program and met a lot of academics who were seriously studying kind of the outer edge or the boundary in Western culture of human perception. And that was a fantastic experience, and followed by yet more fantastic experiences that led to me getting really well-trained in a private, quite lovely oral tradition that was aimed at intelligently exploring what these cutting-edge perceptual powers of people are and how they can be incorporated to live a good life as a good person and make a high contribution to your culture. Those people were, that going back many generations, were just professionals, usually highly educated people, that were very quiet and very unassuming and very unintrusive people, just keeping alive a particular flame or a particular approach to integrating this otherness, this bigger-ness, without really ever labeling it anything or putting names on things. And that's where I come from, and I was doing that when I was the president of an aerospace company, kind of by day. And now the question, how can my experiences be of benefit to other people? How can they perceive better? There are several important answers. One answer is that I'm surprised that so many people think that seeing a visual thing is sort of the epitome of second sight. And in reality, perceiving energy is more like putting your hand in a pool and feeling sort of the thermocline. Well, here's the cold water and here's the hot water, and if it's flowing, the sensation that I respect the most that has to do with perceiving energy is kinesthetic rather than visual, and it's kind of a small subset of useful perception that ever is visual. And consequently, kind of people, in looking for visual registration of their senses, overlook the kind of gut level, almost tactile feeling of energy in the room that is of such tremendous use to all of us interpersonally. And we do a lot of kind of directing people's attention to what you can feel as if it was the way water, if you're in a pool of clear water, you can't really see the water, but you could feel somebody splashing at the other end of the pool very easily. So redirecting people's attention there is really important. And also directing people to realize that we are sociologically probably blinded to energy by politeness, that if someone is polite to you, you tend not to pay attention to the unspoken but very real motion of energy around you that person may be giving rise to. But as soon as somebody is rude, we develop a huge language that is all about the energy between people that shows up in our expressions, like, this person has slimed me or dumped on me, or gosh, it's draining to be around this person. And really, when somebody's being rude to you, from my perspective, they're doing you a favor, because it's like taking a blinder off, and you're suddenly aware to the point where your body reacts, and phrases come to mind, and you really know exactly what's going on in energy. So the challenge to the population is to take that same degree of consciousness we have in the presence of rudeness and develop it when people are being sweet to us, when people are being polite. It's even more important than that's hopefully what's happening in a relationship, is you're being incredibly good to each other, and you want to have the same acuity when you are being loving and warm to one another that you would instantly have when rudeness arose. Patty, to you, how would you add to this?
I would say that, not to sound, I don't know, pretentious or something, but I could take, you could give me any human, except for maybe 1% of the population, and within, 20 minutes, I can have them sensing energy. Part of it is just that nobody really knows how to point it out to you. And I think one of the brilliances of you, Paul, is you have, with your engineer background and also a lot of creativity, you have come up with, and your karate background too, to be honest, so many simple exercises that make things incredibly clear. So you don't have to be a genius and you don't have to see energy. It's more somebody pointing out and mapping the territory. And I would give you even just a couple of very simple examples, Kenneth.
Oh, yes, please.
If you are, everybody has had the experience of being in a room and your back is maybe turned to somebody. So if somebody comes in behind you, you're not seeing them, but you feel that they're angry. They haven't spoken, you haven't seen their face, but you can feel their anger. And because we're not trained to pay attention to it or to understand it, we just ignore it. And yet it's a tactile, you know, feeling that everybody has. We train people in, oh, what is what we call content, which is records of experience and energy that are being really flowing from one person to another. We train people to pay attention to it, to understand it, to be able to move it in ways when it's coming at you. So to kind of my own and somebody else's, if, say, I'm what you would call loaded or angry or whatever, oftentimes we're projecting that on people, and it's just as easy to deflect it off to the side and let your words go towards somebody, but to move the what we call content or energetic component off to the side. And these are very simple techniques that when you point it out, literally, you know, I do it over the phone on teleclasses or live classes, you begin to map the territory. Every woman knows, I would bet, probably every woman knows the feeling of walking by, say, a group of maybe drunken men or something at a bar, and they haven't touched her, but she feels them. She feels somebody reach across and touch her or intrude into her space, and it's oftentimes frightening or uncomfortable. That feeling of, I would call it being slimed. It's, those are energetic things where you have this field around you that's a sensory organ that is happening all the time in your environment. People are communicating, they're moving energy, they're moving content. But until somebody gives you a language for it or develops very simple exercises, which we do in class, you really just store it in the, something happened but I don't know what it is, and you don't pay attention to it. So we're taking a lot of these energy senses and mapping them for people and saying, usually with something intuitive, you think, well, intuition means something came in, but I don't really know what it means. And we're saying, yeah, something came in, and it is possible for you to know where it came from or how you registered it. Because my handsome engineer husband over here has created such a wonderful map of it because he has such great powers of observation. So I hope that makes it a little bit clearer. It's not rocket science.
You know, I'd like to throw in a typical exercise, describe one. We like to tie getting people more in touch with their energetic sense to physical things. We're big on if you're going to move energy, you move your body, not your imagination. And the exercises that we do tend to be physically based. For instance, we might, if we had a room with, say, 30 people in it, we might take 5 people and tie a piece of yarn to the waist of each of those 5 people and run it through a blind so that you can't tell which other end of the yarn is tied to which person. And then have people one at a time sit in a chair and pick up the ends of those bits of yarn and just say, you know, are you do you get a sensation of happy or sad or closed or open or looking at the future or the past, and move from bit of yarn to bit of yarn to bit of yarn, and with just in a very short bit of coaching, we can run everyone in the room through that chair and get a very high preponderance of the same characteristics relating to the end of each bit of yarn. And those kind of experiences are very confirming, and they connect people to the way that their sense works in a very concrete way. And if you do a lot of that sort of an exercise, you become familiar with how you receive that kind of information, and you get a kind of concrete validation with respect to other observers. And those things, that not only are they very useful at opening people up, but they're also very fun. It's experimental. It's explorative. It's a lovely process, introducing you to the fact that there is more out there and there's more in you than you may have imagined. Yeah, Patty.
I always like to bring it back to relationship because it's such a playground. And a lot of what attraction is about is really giving people a map of how does it typically work in relationship. And in terms of examples, if you think of each person having a physical body and then this field around them, we're designed like animals or birds. If you watch animals and birds, they have some really interesting mating rituals. And I would invite any listener to go online and just dial up, you know, bird mating rituals. And they're hilarious and fun to read. And I use them oftentimes in my classes to share with people that we are still mammals and we have rituals that really, when you want to attract somebody, you're designed to do. And I think we've become so cerebral that we forget that and we think that our words are enough or just, you know, we've kind of opted out, or some people have opted out. And yet when you put in these mating rituals between humans, they don't have to make sense any more than the birds, you know, flying around three times and dropping a twig in front of the other bird has to make sense. But they work to attract attention, to really get a mate who's interested in you. You're identifying, yes, I'm available. And the same mating rituals in humans, they're physical and they're energy-based. So, for instance, we try to work with women and encourage them that women are really designed to be more energetically forward than men. And you can have a really wonderfully lovely woman, but if in energy she's so still, she's not going to get chosen. And so oftentimes it's pointing out to people there's a bit of anatomy in your energy field that we call a gender essence, and it's designed to move that little bit of energy forward and then into a male field and then pull it back. And it's like a whiff of who you are. This is a very simple thing. I do it over the phone with people. I do it in person. And it's a way of identifying, oh, see this? I'm a female. And you move it back. Somewhat like if you've watched a golden retriever dog, they'll have a, you know, you throw them a ball, they bring the ball to you, and then they dance back and forth, you know, moving to the ball, moving away, moving to the ball, moving away, trying to entice you. Well, in energy, we have a lot of those things that we do. Another thing people do is they pack energy into body parts, and we call it illumination. So if you've ever walked down the street, and certainly I'm sure every male and probably most women can relate to, you walk down the street and you look at somebody and all you see are their hips or their breasts or their face, and you think, it's almost a double take. It can be so startling. Humans all the time without awareness, they pack energy, and it's like making your rear end look like it's a flashing neon light. It's a technique to attract attention. If it's done, say, with a 14-year-old in high school who isn't in a stable relationship, it's kind of trivializing the person. But if it's done in a long-term marriage, you bet I'm doing it all the time to Paul. I'm walking in front of him, and he's, oh, I saw that. I got that. So we're trying to, you know, map out to people, how do you keep the charge alive? You've got this energy system. And we're always signaling each other. It's very fun. And we're always trying to point out, what are the stages in which those mating rituals actually work, and where are they kind of dysfunctional? You know, you're 13 and packing energy in your breast. Everybody in town really is going to get you the wrong kind of attention. So I hope that gives you somewhat of a flavor, Kenneth.
Wow, this is exciting. I was letting my mind wander to like a restaurant scene.
Yes.
A new couple has just met, and I didn't know which one of them, but it was sort of like they had a copy of your book, or they were watching one of your you know, videos, or gone to a training of yours, and then one extends to the other a cord across the table, and they're holding it, and then playing a game of, okay, now I'm gonna send you something, now you tell me what you're getting.
Yeah.
And just to separate from a visual thing, they could do this with their eyes closed.
Yep.
It gives us a way to connect with each other about some of these energies that you're talking about, that I think people have these feelings but haven't really sat down and actually described it in terms of, okay, well, I'm going to brush my teeth and I'm going to comb my hair, but they haven't said, now how am I going to decorate my energy field?
Boy, that is a really effective remark that you've made. It certainly paints the picture that we would like to paint. I'm going to remember that, that you said
One
that.
Of the chapters in the book is a pretend cocktail party, and Paul maps out this what's really happening at a typical cocktail party. And it's if you were watching from the ceiling looking down, watching all the contracts that are made non-verbally between people. And so you end up oftentimes going home with somebody you didn't want to, or you repeat patterns because your psychology is linked oftentimes to your energy senses. And so your psychology is working out its little dynamics oftentimes through your energy, and that's the dysfunctional part of it. Oh, you know, I didn't really... My words were saying one thing, but in energy, we were having this whole other discussion. So it's an interesting chapter that really makes clear what I think most people have experienced when they've ended up doing the same thing over and over and not understanding why this seemed like Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, but it actually wasn't. So there's a lot of pain in the world, and there's also the same things with a little bit of training and making them consciously aware can really support having a great relationship when it's more conscious.
Wow. Wow, you got to love that, because we know people set out with an intention to get their needs met, to have someone in their life that they can love and be loved by. And and while we start off with that intention, if you look at the divorce rates or in your wonderful book Wild Attraction, that you can get what both at the Sente center.com, as well as Amazon, I think a number of places now.
It's starting to show up in bookstores. But you know what we really love to do is talk about it to people directly. And so in a way, we wrote the book to support the teleconferences that we do on an ongoing basis through the Sente Center.
Ah.
Because we think that personal presence, being able to answer questions, to hear the voices of the people that are experiencing it, watching them interact. Well, that's what we love. We're lecturers. And so the book, you read the book, and the book gives you the whole structure and the understanding, and then you dial in. Patty gives them a couple of times a month, and so do I, and we do them together. And normally people just subscribe, and they've read the book, so they jump in when they want to, and they just ride as long as they want, and we talk about a great relationship and how a great relationship plays a role in producing great people. So you can tell, I think, that we are enormously enthusiastic about this sort of undiscovered kind of greater potential of relationship than we normally hear talked about. And we're quite excited about adding a kind of intelligent, energetic literacy to the population that allows people to become or to realize more of the promise within them. So I think, yes, the book's available, and it's sort of just the beginning. Patty, did you have more on that one?
Well, I guess I would say there's some great language in the book that I think is quite fun. A lot of terms like intelligent wild. What is that? And what we're saying it to people is there's a concept called tame attraction. Now, a lot of people are making a choice. They're jumping between either something fun and kind of risque with an unsafe person, or they're settling for very tame attraction and they're bored. And we watch people flip between these two scenarios, and we're saying, well, there's this thing in the middle that we're calling intelligent wild, that you can have a functional and exciting, charged relationship that doesn't have to get boring. So it's to me, it's quite fun to have that potential and lay it out for people. And we're also calling people a bit on some of our habits. And probably for me, who seems to be a little bit of a, how would I call it, irreverent person at times, I really like the concept in the book of snap out of it. And I use it a lot in my classes, that snap out of it, that you're living oftentimes hoping that you don't have to change your habits. And yet you say on one hand you want a great relationship, and yet there are simple things that if you just do them, there are ways you honor the feminine and there's ways you honor the male that make that relationship great. But you have to snap out of thinking that you can just do it always your way without actually being curious to what actually feeds the other gender. And I compare it to if you have a parakeet, you don't give it cat food.
So if I have a male, I need to give it the food that feeds the male, and he needs to give me the food that feeds me. And the sharing of that, we get wonderful comments from people, you know, from all ages. 80-year-old couples are saying, this is great. It's just so, for me, it's very fun to take people who are motivated to say, it isn't rocket science, it doesn't take that much, and what it yields is huge in the way of enduring, interesting, dynamic relationship.
Yeah. Now, I have a question. I'm curious, because obviously you and Paul, Patty, are involved in a wonderful intimate relationship, 17, 20 years, some a good amount of time, and doing things as a couple that are really wonderfully stimulating and playful with each other. Is some of your work going to help in terms of people that are just wanting to form good friendships? There, I don't know exactly some of the dynamics. There certainly seems to be this yearning, at least in my experience, of a number of people that they want Mr. Right or Mrs. Right to come along. They want that person to sweep them off their feet and to have all this incredible stuff happen, and then maybe later on they might want to build a friendship with them. And so what I'm wondering, in some of what you're talking about in Wild Attraction, is there any of this that applies to people who are becoming friends with each other? Maybe they're in an office setting. Maybe they can go to church to the same place. Who knows? And as a way to be playful energetically before there's some of these contracts about deep intimacy.
Patty and I are looking at each other, deciding who's going to talk. And I guess we're deciding. I'll take a short, make a short remark, and then she'll build on it. That's a fantastic question. The fundamental phase of life that we focus on the most is friendship, and we think that a person who has strong friendships is a candidate who can have a great, extraordinary relationship. And then we view the people just if they really interdependently join and help other people meet their needs and can accept help, take care of their needs by their friends, they're ready to think about what we then think of as sort of general attraction. Like, okay, I think I'm ready for a relationship. I'm interested in finding someone. And so there is sort of the next phase of rituals that you do, and what those rituals might be are what you might imagine, a kind of mildly flirtatious. You might engage this gender essence, whatever your most predominant energy, whether it's male or female. There are ways to engage it more so that people register you as a gender being when you walk through a room, even if they're your friends. And there are certain little energetic rituals that you practice at the general attractions stage among your friends, like, for instance, the classic, if you're in a feminine energy state and you walk up to a door and you kind of slightly lean toward the door and slightly pause, you're creating a gap or an opening for somebody in a more male energy state to kind of slink across the room and get that door open for you in a way that says, hey, I get it. That you're feminine, and it's delightful that you're feminine. So both sides are using a particular power, the feminine person indirect power, the power to indicate that something should be done, and the male person, the male energy person, using more direct power, and those are very complementary. So your life among your friends before you're in a relationship should be reasonably well seasoned with those kinds of rituals. And then when you get interested in people, there's sort of a contact. What do you do when you want to make contact with somebody? And there are energetic rituals for making contact with someone you're going to start courting. And the one that comes to mind that I always enjoy talking about is giving somebody a job and doing a job for them. If you want to make contact with someone and you're in feminine energy, take the chain off your bicycle and walk along with your bicycle chain off and pause by the person you're interested in and give them a job to do for you. And if you're that in the male role, your ritual is to say, wait, I noticed your chain is off on your bike. Let me put your chain on your bike. You know, so we've got legions of people out there walking around without chains on their bikes. And so it just escalates along from stage to stage, but it all refers back to friendship. And in the end, that's what you're left with, is hopefully being a magnificent friend, a cherishing, undemanding friend in your whole circle, and especially to your partner.
Right. Now, well, something comes up that, because this to me is beautiful, and I know from interacting with you and seeing your book that and your backgrounds that you're coming from a place of very high integrity and high caring for the human condition and nurturing. What I like to see is how people can possibly turn to your book and then to your work so that they would be better prepared, because in the world we have sometimes women offering opportunities for a man to support them in some way, like you're describing, the bicycle chain or the proverbial dropping of the handkerchief type of a thing. Allow me to get that for you, or the door.
Right.
And then the component of when is that being used as something that is a playful gender expression that is a wonderful invitation versus a way to get some needs met without any desire to reciprocate.
I'd love to comment on that, Kenneth. We spend a lot of time talking about the gender part of you. And if you think of a person as I'm a whole being, but I have a gender part of me, and the female part of me has certain requirements that are just built in. And sometimes I think in the culture now it's a little confusing. Men are afraid to help women. Women are afraid to ask for help. And you have all this stuff going on that I think is in the search for women becoming independent and recognized as capable. Some of the gallantness has gone out of relationship. And what I would say one of the easiest and most beautiful things that everyone should be offering to each other is this thing we call the essential messages. And there are, between the genders, women, for whatever reason, when we view somebody in energy terms, they have a structure in them that is more female or more male. And that structure seems to have certain requirements that are so easy to satisfy and are so nourishing. And it can sound like a psychological stereotype, but for us it's just a given. It's just a part of a person. And the female person who's carrying female, what we call gender essence, has a requirement at some deep level to just be seen and appreciated by people in the male gender for herself. She has an affinity with aesthetics and with beauty and has a desire to be seen and appreciated, not for what she does, that's some other part of her, but the gender part just wants to be seen and appreciated for who she innately is. And Paul and I encourage everybody in classes, and we get amazing reports back, if you work with any female people, if you have female children, if you're in a relationship with a female, probably the simplest, most wonderful thing you can do for that person is every day, one time, two times, three times, like a daily dose of vitamins, be sure that somewhere in that day you reference seeing them for their essence alone. And this looks like, it's so great to have you here. You know, you did a great job at that meeting, but your presence was fantastic. Or anytime, Paul will tell every man, anytime your wife undresses in front of you or your partner, you need to be commenting. I don't care if she's got curlers in her hair and, you know, just came down with the flu. You need to be saying, you're a lovely creature, or, you know, your hair looks great today. There's some way that it feeds the feminine that is inexplicable, isn't particularly rational. But what happens is we tend to give the other gender what we want. So me as a woman, and I was raised with mainly sisters, will say to men, if I'm not aware of this, I'll say to Paul, you're so sweet, or it's so great to have you here. And he kind of, before I realize, he kind of looked at me like, well, that's interesting. But what we've learned is men have their gender part of them has an innate desire and need to be recognized and seen for their capacity to do. So they need a lot of good job. And it can sound so kind of simplistic, and yet it works. So I'm telling every woman, whatever male you're with, whether it's a good friend or a male child or a coworker or a lover, if you want to generate a field of love upon the planet, be sure every day you're saying to the men in your life, you did a great job. So for me to say to you, Kenneth, you did a great introduction. It takes nothing from me. It's an honest response. Instead of just quietly saying nothing, we get the chance to nourish each other. And the genders seem to need a particular kind of nourishment some percent of the day. So Paul and I make a point of, I give him a lot of great job. You did a great job on that. And he does a lot of, it's great to have you here. You're a beautiful creature. Or things that make the gender part just come alive, and it's like nourishing each other. It's probably the most simple and, I guess, rewarding practice I would suggest every male and every female start instituting, and try it out and see if you don't watch the people in your life just shine. It's simple and it's great.
Yeah. Wow.
Go ahead,
Paul.
Do you mind if I added something to that, build on that? I was thinking when you asked the question, I love Patty's answer, and I was thinking that that question also touches on the power dynamic between people and kind of ego, and our view, or what we've experienced, is that there is a level of functionality that is wonderful to attain in which you can deal with another powerful person without feeling that they're trying to take power over you. And so if you open a door for somebody, there's a place to be internally in your inner world where it's not a surrender and it's not giving them control over you. It's a ritual that you're doing in recognition of the way things work and the
like
way they are.
Ballroom dancing.
Yeah, it's like, that's good. It's like ballroom dancing. And so if people are afraid that the feminine energy person in their life is going to take away their power in some way, or the male energy person in their life is going to take away their power, if it's a battle for power and control, then the things that we're describing tend not to work, and they tend to be entangling. So the preliminary kind of the homework, or, you know, if this was a college course, there'd be certain preliminary college courses that you would take that would lead you to the place where it's humorous to you. Oh yes, your partner is very powerful. They may challenge you. They're doing this ritual thing, and then, you know, you bow and you do your thing, and it just goes back and forth. And it never really occurs to you that you could ever get power over your partner or lose power to them. And that state of mind, it's a lovely place to live, and it makes possible people doing things or using power in a way that is pure language and pure ritual that brings them together, instead of power being a thing that drives people apart.
Ah.
So that's what I was thinking when you asked the question.
Sure. Well, I'm just wondering, and as a kind of a summary, am I on target to say, when you're talking about men and women learning to understand the rituals of the other gender and things that make a difference to them, and noticing the difference between what a woman would like and a man would like, that by honoring those things and being willing to share those, that when there's a healthy level of interaction, that without having to do a lot, the reciprocity will take place, and people will be meeting each other's needs.
Yes. We actually laugh sometimes because we're not selling relationship skills. We don't think that you need them. We don't think you need relationship skills. All you need is to choose well in the beginning and lovingly practice the rituals that honor who you are and the way gender works. And, you know, if you really seek relationship skills and overemphasize them, it may be a corresponding underemphasis on the importance of choosing someone who's a real candidate, and most important of all, doing the learning, the exploration that makes you legitimately a candidate for a great relationship. Patty, did you want to add to that?
I was just thinking, I appreciated what you just said, Kenneth. I thought it was great. I think you're pointing to really the nub of, you know, the center of the whole thing is that inherently we have both genders, and they're both equally precious and equally powerful and beautiful. And what's possible when people are not seeing the other as some kind of battle of the sexes, but are actually curious, interested, and willing to support the other gender's beauty and needs and skills, something great then is allowed to happen. And the whole planet benefits. And it just benefits. So I think that's what we're pointing to.
That is so fabulous. I feel like we've just got started, and it's the end of the hour, and it's like, oh my gosh, talk about quality when the time blazes by like this. Folks, Patty and Paul, I got to thank you. And of course, this is an indication, folks, of how valuable their material is to get the book Wild Attraction from them and tune in to some of their programs so that you can interact with them on an ongoing basis through the CenteCenter.com. My gosh, I'll look forward to staying in touch with you and see about having you come back at another time down the road and share more, if that's okay with you.
Kenneth, you are among the most gracious hosts we've ever spoken with. It's an honor to support your vision. Thank you for letting us be a part of it.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was great.
You're welcome. A mutual pleasure. Patty, thank you so much. Beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. Tune in each week for Advanced Living Radio, where we'll keep bringing you more fun and adventure for better living. Visit advancedliving.com and learn about the comfort technology. Just thank you all so much. And until we meet again, say God bless and goodbye for now.
Let go and let God. Let go.